helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Yesterday, I talked about the madness that seems to have enveloped America today. I want to spend some time looking at how we got here. G.K. Chesterton once said, "When men choose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything." Take a look around today. It appears Mr. Chesterton was correct. See, when those in America claim to have killed God, we've seen more and more outrageous lies be called truths. What those who are promoting these agendas seem to have failed to consider are the long-term consequences of their actions. Today, we are not only living with those consequences, but we are creating even more horrific ones for our children. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. Yes, this is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And yes, I am glad you could join me today as we take another look at not just the madness, but I want to kind of focus on how we got here. Focus less on the news and maybe more on the philosophies that brought us here today. Now, to my recollection, to my understanding, I can trace these issues way back to at least to political correctness. I think many of the problems go back much farther. I would say they go back as far as Woodrow Wilson and FDR and our growing dependence on the federal government to do what it's not authorized to do. But from a social standpoint, from something it was personally observant of, we see the political correctness. And the idea that there were certain people that got to tell the world what is and is not acceptable. Now, it's one thing to say, yes, you know, I don't want to offend my neighbor. I don't wish to attack my neighbor by offense. But when that's used to silence dissent, when that's used to intimidate others into a certain point of view, it leads us to, it's leading us towards a homogeneous way of thinking. The idea that there's only one acceptable viewpoint, and anything else is not to be tolerated. And the problem you run in there with that is, well, if there's nothing challenging the current dogma, how do you know the dogma's right if it isn't tested? Sure, we all love to live nice, easy lives, but you know what's really interesting? When you don't stress a person, or they don't grow. It's like the tree that never encounters wind. The first time it does, it falls over. Well, we started doing that with the idea of political correctness and saying there are certain things I don't want to be exposed to. I don't want to hear. I don't want to see. And we labeled them as politically incorrect. The problem is, rather than saying I'm going to remove myself from them, we said I'm going to push others to make me feel better. And of course, once that got in place, we wanted to use more and more tools and techniques to promote our agenda. See, then we came to the self-esteem movement and the idea that no matter what, you had to feel good about yourself. No matter what, anything that didn't make you feel great was bad. So we stopped keeping score in games. We stopped marking tests in red pen because it made students feel bad. We stopped correcting grammar and articles of speech because, well, you didn't want someone to feel bad because they spoke differently than you. And I would even go so far as to give them the benefit of the doubt that they thought what they were doing was good. They didn't want to hurt someone's feelings. They just never seemed to consider the consequences. Now, to my mind, what I saw was political correctness and this self-esteem movement kind of merge into what is today called cancel culture. The idea not merely that there are certain things we don't say because they can hurt people's feelings, but that you must be punished for it doing so. Even If what you said was in the past, when it was considered acceptable to say that, it's not acceptable now. And it's this narrowing of the American mind that says, I can't look at the past based on their standards. I have to look at the past based on our standards. And if they don't meet every jot and tittle of our standards, they must be canceled. They must be removed. We saw this with the removing of statues. Now, it's interesting to start out with Confederate statues, right? Because, well, the Confederacy we've deemed as evil. Granted, slavery was evil and the Confederacy promoted slavery. But rather than seeing these statues for the men and their actions, we saw them as representing the Confederacy. And, well, how dare you honor men who represented such an evil history? Then they kind of went nuts. They took down not only statues of Confederate generals, but of Union generals, of President Lincoln, a statue of Lincoln lifting a black man out of slavery was taken down. And we saw places like the name Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, was removed from high school. George Washington removed because they owned slaves in a time when they were not only legally allowed to own slaves, but they were legally prohibited from freeing their slaves. It's a sort of madness to say where we are now must be viewed, must be dictated over all of history. Take history completely out of context. And this went hand in hand with what I refer to as the rights agenda, where rights ceased being unalienable rights given to you by your creator, things like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But rights became anything I thought was good. It's where we got the idea of a right to an education, a right to health care, a right to marriage, a right to own a home. All of these rights, which cannot be rights. Let me take on a little parenthetical, because it's important to understand, I think, this part of it. See, I've done a lot of studying on rights, and there's a lot I can talk about. I have a whole class I do on it, but I can boil it down to two simple sentences. For a right to be legitimate, you must be able to exercise it without infringing on the rights of another. Therefore, for a right to be legitimate, you must be capable of exercising it without infringing on the rights of another. Take an example. Freedom of speech. I can freely speak however I wish. Now, I may suffer consequences if I use that speech to physically harm someone, such as lie about them in court, libel them, maybe encourage people to commit physical violence against them. But it's not the speech that's restricted, it's the misuse of it that's restricted. Right? Now compare that to others, say, but you don't have a right to insult me. See, when I exercise my freedom of speech, I'm not forcing you to listen to me. I'm not imposing on a legitimate right. But Paul, you're not allowed to offend others. Excuse me, but the right to not be offended can only be exercised by suppressing the freedom of speech and freedom of press of another. In other words, the only way to exercise a right not to be offended is to infringe on the rights of others. Therefore, that cannot be a legitimate right because there's no legitimate way of exercising it. So that's the context that I'm putting this into. So rights went from, you know, the right to speak, the right to vote, the right to marry, to the right to not simply to marry, but to force others to recognize my marriage, to endorse my marriage. The right to education became the right to the education that I want, not simply a primary education, not simply a secondary education, but higher education, a right to these things. The right to health care, the right to confiscate money from other people to pay for the health care you want, when you want it, how you want it. These rights impose burdens on others that it puts us in a situation where you have to decide, well, which quote-unquote rights are going to supersede others, which means we're not all created equal anymore, are we? Because now, if my right is allowed to infringe on your right, then I'm superior. And then this superiority has grown over the last few years into a, well, during COVID, they call it a mass, mass formation psychosis, where we all went crazy. We all ignored the reality and we just followed what we were told, followed the crazy. And we're seeing more and more of that explode in our society. Now, I found this interesting article on the Patriot Post, and I want to go over several of the statements that were made. The article is entitled Cultural Induced Madness. And it starts with this. It says, a CDC study released back in February showed a disturbing trend in our teenage girls. They were given a battery of questions inquiring about mental health, sexual activity, drug use, and suicidality. Across the board, the negative trends increased between 2011 and 2021. Girls of every size, shape, and color reported poor mental health, more instances of sexual violence, higher drug use, and thoughts of ending their lives. It's not for a lack of parental monitoring or unstable households. Those trends are actually higher. Clinical psychologist Lisa Damore sums up the dilemma perfectly. She said, we're raising the best behaved generation of teenagers on record. They drive with seatbelts. They smoke less. They have sex less. They wear helmets. They do all these things that we did not do. And yet our teens are miserable. Why? Well, they went into several possibilities, several things that are contributing to this. One is the social and political grooming to keep secrets from parents. Now, listen, teens have always kept secrets from their parents, often to their own detriment. But now we have a society and we have a government that is encouraging children to keep secrets from their parents, that are grooming them to keep secrets from their parents, to further separate children from their parents. Now, according to the article, keeping secrets from your parents heightens anxiety, breaks trust, and fractures families, yet is encouraged as good. After all, this idea of pursuing our individual autonomy is the summit of all virtues, yet it's destroying not just society, but it's destroying young people. Now, they also looked at what they called the cognitive behavior therapy. Now, they gave an example from, they had an article, and they said, Greg is prone to depression, and after hospitalization for a serious episode in 2007, he learned CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. Now, in CBT, you learn to recognize when your ruminations and automatic thinking patterns exemplify one or more of about a dozen cognitive disorders. Things such as catastrophizing, black and white thinking, fortune telling, emotional reasoning. Thinking in these ways causes depression as well as being a symptom of depression. Breaking out of these painful distortions is a cure for depression. Now, what Greg saw in 2013 were students justifying the suppression of speech and the punishment of dissent using the exact same distortions that Greg had learned to free himself from. In other words, this Greg watched while the very things he was warned to not do were being used by students to suppress speech. You wonder why there are more instances of depression, why there's more anxiety. Well, the justification of the suppression of speech, the punishment of dissent, is exactly the tools are used to do that are exactly the ones that led Greg into his depression. And let's also look at mental illness. See, now, having an illness, not doing that something is wrong or something is sinful, but that's it's just an illness. Well, it's become trendy now. See, now you're not a young person going through puberty trying to figure out how your body works. No. Suddenly you're a homosexual, you're transgender. Now it's not a question of I'm worried about passing my tests. Now it's an anxiety disorder. Now, you know, it's not simply, oh, you're a boy and you're rambunctious. Oh, no. You have ADHD and need to be medicated. And then we wonder why these young people feel depressed. Where can they go to get outside perspective on this? When those used to go to religion, well, religion's been poo-pooed. It's been relegated to history. And there are no places for these young people to go. There are no secure places to guide themselves. There's no landmarks, because all the landmarks have either been removed or have been set loose on the sea of relativism. I've got some more ideas I want to get into, but first, I have to take a break. Now, please, if you would, head over to the website constitutionstudy.com. There you can find out everything that we do here at the Constitution Study. You can sign up for one of the mailing lists. You get notified as new products, programs, and events come online. You can also donate to the cause. You can ask a question. And if you hit the checkbox, I'll answer the question right here on the radio. I love answering people's questions. So you can always contact me through that website with questions or comments. I appreciate them all very, very much. Now, also, I'd like you to check out Healthy Cell. I got turned on to this company about a year and a half ago. They are a leading innovator in supplements designed to work at the cellular level, and they've got a lot of great products. One that I use is called Immune Super Boost. It combines over a dozen immune supplements in a single travel-ready gel pack designed to support my immune system, especially when I'm on the go. Now, you can get 25% off your first order from Healthy Cell of Immune Super Boost or any of their products if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please, go to HealthyCell.com. Put your cart together. Try the Immune Super Boost. Try the REM Sleep, the Focus Recall. Try any of their great products. Put them in your cart. When you check out, use that code OUTLOUD. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes. The number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, Everyday America, to rejoin the Constitution study. Today, we're talking how our unmooring of reality, our unmooring of ourselves from any standards, has led to a form of madness, a psychosis that seems to be running rampant throughout the country. And then, of course, the question then becomes, what can we do about it? Now, one of the things I've observed over the last few decades is we've become more and more tribal. Listen, there have always been those who gathered together and would support their tribe above everything else. We've seen it in everything from political debates to international affairs, right? You know, United States versus Germany or versus Vietnam. We've seen this. But what's interesting is it appears, especially over the last two, maybe three decades, at least that I've watched, as we've become more and more tribal, where supporting our tribe supersedes absolutely everything else. It's interesting because this is not a new concept. George Washington talked about it in his farewell address in 1796, where he said, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism." In other words, the attachment to faction, the spirit of revenge natural to political parties, generates its own frightful despotism. It is its own frightful despotism. And now we've seen this. This should be nothing new, right? The Democrats that will deride a Republican for certain conduct will ignore it in their own, and vice versa. A Republican, which derides the actions of a Democrat, will be perfectly fine when it's their own party doing it. We see this in everything from sexual norms to the budget debate, the size of government, even the entry or participation in wars and other military actions. When our side does it, it's great. When the other side does it, it's evil. But this drive towards tribalism, I think it's driven us so far that we've become detached from any sense of norm. I describe it like this: imagine you're a ship at sea. Now, if you're a ship at sea, especially if you're an old sailing ship, it works best if it's an old sailing ship before things like inertial navigation and GPS. When all you had to guide yourself was a compass and a sextant. So there you are out on the sea, and you have a compass that tells you where north is. It always points north, so you can know which way you're going. You have a sextant that you can look at the stars at night and figure out where you are roughly on the earth. And using those two pieces of information, you can decide which way to go. Well, there's a couple of problems in our modern society. See, we've demagnetized the compass. The compass no longer points north. It points wherever it feels like, wherever the prevailing norms point to. So you look at your compass one minute and north is this way, and the next minute the north is another way. And how are you supposed to navigate with that information? So what do? You grab your sextant. I will orient myself to the stars, except those stars, those are historical norms, and we are not allowed to follow them anymore because they've been cancel cultured. So now here you are at sea, no land in sight, with no way to know where you are or what direction you're heading, and we wonder why crazy things happen. Because at that point, the only place thing that you know is true is your ship. your neighbors, your tribe. And anything that would challenge the accuracy of your tribe must be dispatched. It must be destroyed. So take, for example, the recent mass murder in Nashville. It was a terrible event. I think we would all agree that it was, you know, 6 murders, 3 of them children, was absolutely terrible. But when I read about headlines, for example, the NBC contributor tweeted out that NBC has identified the Nashville school shooter. Nashville is a home of to the Daily Wire, a hub of anti-trans activity by Matt Walsh, Ben Shapiro, and Michael Knowles. What does that have to do with identifying the shooter? Oh, that's right. The shooter was self-acclaimed transgender. Therefore, we have to attack the enemy. Now, is the Daily Wire a hub of anti-trans activity? It depends on how you define anti-trans. See, if you are out there and you at the ocean and you see a ship lost at sea and you come up alongside it and said, hey, my compass works. North is that way. They go, how dare you be anti-us by telling us that there's a north that we should be following? We think north is down there towards Antarctica. We have to destroy the enemy because of this tribalism we've adopted. When Newsweek tweets out the story as Tennessee Republicans ban on drag shows criticized after mass shooting. I'm not quite sure what one has to do with the other. Or ABC had to get in as well. The correspondent there, Terry Moran, stated that the shooter identified herself as a transgender person. The state of Tennessee earlier this month passed and the governor signed a bill that banned transgender medical care for minors. Do you see what these are all doing? They're taking the perpetrator of a mass murder and trying to reframe them as a victim. Which was, by the way, followed up at the state capitol when a group outside the hallway of the capitol held up 7 fingers saying there were 7 victims of the Nashville mass murder, not 6. Because they viewed the perpetrator of the crime as a victim. Now, partially they did this, I believe, because we've now elevated the idea of victim status to such a high art that it's the greatest thing you could do and bide somebody with. You are a victim. That somehow gives you power. But you see, we have a situation where an individual committed a mass murder, but because she identified with a certain let's say, politically advantageous group at the moment, her sins could be washed clean because she was transgender. And anybody that did anything that in the news commentator's mind did anything to say the idea of transgender is not cool and should be adopted by everybody had to be suppressed. And the fact that this young woman was obviously dealing with some mental issues. She was seeking therapy for some mental issues she had. That can't be part of the reason. No. We have to protect her because she fits this agenda. And again, not just Tennessee. Activists stormed the Texas Capitol, demanding that authorities allow doctors to mutilate children. Well, they didn't put it that way. They didn't mention that what they wanted was the ability to remove perfectly healthy organs or to give drugs and hormones that would chemically castrate or chemically infertilize young boys and girls. You know what they called for? They said, protect trans kids. Excuse me, but with a compass of points north, protecting children from life-altering decisions being pushed on them by adults is protecting trans kids. To say, as a child, you should not simply be rushed in to mutilate yourself to chemically alter your body. Wait a few years. Get past this age when life is so confusing. When you are an adult, when you have grown up, then you could make a decision for yourself. And while I would disagree with you, I wouldn't stop you. But the idea of protecting children from adults pressuring them to mutilate themselves is somehow not protecting these children is an example of just how mad this world has gone. We no longer understand, at least in the public, it seems we no longer understand right from wrong. We no longer understand the rational, the reasonableness of children. You know, hey, some children want to grow up to be firemen and they change their minds. Some children want to grow up and be they wanted to be a mermaid and they change their mind. Children change their mind all the time. And when you're dealing with a child, especially one in the middle of puberty with all the hormones and everything else going on, to not protect them from making a rash and dangerous decision should be the assumed state. But that's not the way society is going. Society is saying, mutilate them, chemically alter them, let them make a life-defining decision when they're not old enough to sign a contract. Let's allow adults, whether they be parents, whether they be teachers, whether they be social media influencers, to encourage kids to alter their lives permanently. And we call that protecting them. I'm sorry. That's child abuse. It's child abuse masquerading as protect trans kids. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to protect them from this social contagion that these activists are promoting. And when you combine that with the separation of the children from their parents, from an anchor point, you simply give them less tools, less opportunity to look at the influence and say, no, I don't want to make that change to my body. Which is why a Maine mother is suing the school district, alleging that they kept her daughter's, quote, gender transition a secret, that they provided her with chest binders and other aids to have her pass off as a boy, but they would not tell the mother. They would not allow an opportunity for a countervailing argument to be brought to the child. The child had one argument and one argument only. That's the one from the school. That's what the mother is alleging. Does anyone else find it interesting that this is the exact same technique used by cults to isolate an individual, isolate them from friends, from family, from other standards, so that the only place they can get information is from the cult? Except it's not the Branch Davidians, it's the trans activists in our schools. This is not an isolated incident. There are multiple parents suing. There are multiple parents challenging school boards for hiding from the parents the activities of their children, from intentionally separating them, not unlike a lion or a leopard might separate a young gazelle from the herd in order to destroy it. They may not think they're destroying the young, but really they are. But they get away with it because we allow them to manipulate the language. We allow them to call black, white, blue, green, up, down. A British lesbian feminist academic, and I put those adjectives to point out, I'm not talking about some right-wing extremist here. Her name is Julia Long, and she said back in September at a free speech event that the word trans has one function, and that is to falsify reality. As soon as you have a word that can institute the lie that a man is a woman, everything is reversed. And that's kind of the point. You cannot change your sex. It is impossible. With rare exception, you're either born with an XX chromosome or an XY chromosomes. No matter what you do to the body, that's only cosmetic changes. But yet we have this language that says, oh no, they can have a sex change. They can change, ignoring the reality that they can't. And this is being promoted, again, in our schools. The Minneapolis Public Schools is hosting a gender resource fair for elementary school students. Elementary school. Children up to, what, 10, 11 years old are going to be exposed to gender resources. I don't know about you, but most children I know at that age, they're not thinking about sex, but they're being indoctrinated with it. They're going to have a drag queen story hour for children. So it used to be considered adult entertainment and you had to go to the sleazy part of town to see it, is now being presented to our children. And there'll be a presentation from Dr. Angela Cade Gifford. This is to help teach parents to help provide puberty blockers, hormones, other drugs to kids. And then we wonder why there's this increase in mental disorders, in anxiety, in depression, in suicidal thoughts in our children. To me, the answer is obvious. It's right in front of us. But I need to take a break before I get further into this. You know, Benjamin Franklin said, "There can be no such thing as wisdom without freedom of thought, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech." It's the idea that we can express differing point of views, and rather than being shut down because they differ, we allow them to compete to see which one is best, which one is more accurate. That's why I love America Out Loud. I am one of many voices, different voices, and it's a great place to go every day, just like I do, to find the latest news and goings on. But you see, it's more important than that. We have to do our part. We have to share these ideas. We do it by sharing the stories, the podcasts, the articles, the videos. That is how we end up with a competition of ideas to find out which is best. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how we secure the blessings of liberty, not just for ourselves, but for our children.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're looking at America's descent into chaos, into madness. And we've talked about some of the things that I believe have led us here. Now, in the last segment, we focused a lot on the irrationality, the illogic of the idea that boys are girls or girls are boy, that we've become disconnected from any sort of sense of truth and reality. There's no North Star. There's no foundation to which we can anchor ourselves and our understanding. We've talked already about the studies showing the increase in anxiety and depression and other disorders, especially among our young girls. And then we're surprised when, well, things happen. Now, again, I'm going to go make a short turn back to the Nashville mass murder, because, again, we have a woman who identified with what some call the made-up sexual status, or MUS, and she had her own issues. She had mental disturbances. There's even some reports that say she may have been a high-functioning autistic. She had been seeing people for mental disorders. And did that lead to her desire to commit suicide after murdering a bunch of people? We don't know yet. But when we see this increasing rate of this sexual ignorance, this lie of gender dysphoria, the use of psychotropic drugs, the mental disorders that are coming to HT, we really shouldn't be surprised that some number of them are going to go too far. They're going to go beyond just the depression and anxiety. They're going to go into acting out and harm other people. Now, am I saying that the transgenderism makes someone a murderer? No. But the anxiety, the depression that goes hand in hand with it. I remember seeing an interesting study, Johns Hopkins, the hospital that created the so-called sex change surgery, stopped performing it because they found that people who had the surgery did not see better results on the orders of anxiety and depression. In other words, it didn't make them better. It wasn't the problem. Their body wasn't the problem. So when they focused on the body, which was not the problem, rather than the mind that was the problem, voila, things didn't get better. But we've become so addicted to this, well, once somebody says something, you can't disagree with them, we end up with people who will do everything to honor a mass murderer because she claimed a transgender status. Do everything to blame others for her actions. And of course, they'll blame the inanimate object for what she did with it. It's not her fault. It's the gun's fault. We saw plenty of that. Now, several states are looking at this saying, what is the outcome of not just transgender, but this hypersexualization of our children? Taking children as young as 5 in some cases and exposing them to a sexualized environment, and often a deviant sexualized environment. So some states are started pushing back. Now, here in Tennessee, a law was passed that prevented, I believe it was drag queens and other shows being used, promoted for children. In other words, they recognized this was adult entertainment, and it was often, again, it was sexually explicit, and it was not appropriate for children. Now, this, of course, was quickly challenged in federal court, and a federal judge has put a restraining order on it, and it was kind of interesting. I haven't read the actual opinion, the order yet. I haven't found it yet, but according to some reporting, The judge asked, does a citizen's private residence count? How about camping grounds at a national park? He says, ultimately, the statute's language clashes with the First Amendment's tight constraints. Well, there's problem number one. This cannot be a First Amendment violation because Congress didn't make this law. Now, is it a violation of the 14th Amendment? Is it a deprivation of rights? That's a whole other issue. But it can't be a First Amendment issue. But let's go back. The law itself states that it would be an offense for a person who engages in an adult cabaret performance on public property, or in a location where the adult cabaret performance could be viewed by a person who is not an adult. An adult cabaret in Tennessee law is defined, I believe, as sexually explicit content. And again, I haven't seen all the details, but here's what's interesting. The judge says, well, it's too broad. The statute language is broad. But notice what it says here. It says, listen, if you're on public property, you cannot perform this type of function. Or if you're on other property where a minor could be expected to see something like this, you're not allowed to perform it. It's designed to be adult, the same as you would have for, a strip club or a gentleman's club. But we have a judge that looks at this as, I don't like this. It's too, and again, maybe it is. I haven't read the law. I haven't looked at the judge's opinion. But he starts off with this repeated lie that it's a First Amendment violation. The Congress did not make this law. The state legislature made this law. Now, you may be asking, Paul, what does this have to do with our descent into madness? Well, it's another excellent example of an unmooring from a fixed standard. The Constitution, the words of the Constitution are fixed. They mean, in my mind, what they meant to the people who wrote them. But we've spent decades trying to find ways around this and undoing this. So we end up with this judicial system that is disconnected from a firm anchor. It's whatever a judge decides they want it to mean. They want it to be a First Amendment violation. It's a First Amendment violation. They want to claim that it's vague. They don't like it because it's too vague. They don't have to prove that it's too vague. He simply says, no, I don't like it, and suspends its operation. Now, why I find this interesting is here you have a judge that is ignoring the supreme law, that is rewriting the supreme law of the land in direct violation of his oath to support the Constitution and in direct violation of the Supremacy Clause, which says the judges are bound to the Constitution, not the other way around. Now, this detachment from a fixed standard, this unwillingness to enforce the actual legal language, has a lot of other consequences. For example, after the shooting in Nashville, there were a lot of demonstrations, and some of them turned into riots. By riot, I mean a mob actually stormed the Tennessee Capitol. They pushed their way into, or at least tried to push their way into the House chamber. Some of them made it into the gallery and disrupted the process. And of course, you know what I haven't seen? I haven't seen a lot of people calling this an insurrection. So I guess if you're demonstrating against an election that elected a Democrat, any challenge to that's an insurrection. But if you're fighting to promote a transgender mass murderer, well, then that's okay. Because according to the Nashville District Attorney, not a single criminal complaint has been filed against those rioters. Again, if you're arguing against a certain, against a certain election, you go to jail. FBI's after you. They track you down all across the country. They hold you in what are reported to be sometimes deplorable conditions because we've disconnected from an anchor. The idea of justice is becoming if not anathema, certainly unheard of in America. We use the word, but we don't know what it means. Because if you go to, if you protest in, if you riot, let's even go focus on the rioters, the people that actually broke in and did, in the case of the U.S. Capitol, did damage, they are hunted down and called insurrectionists. In Tennessee, in Nashville, they don't even file complaints against them. Now, again, I'm not terribly surprised. Nashville itself is not exactly known as a bastion of constitutional thought. And the other place where we see a lot of divide, I can't talk about our descent into madness without this racist move titled anti-racism. You know, I really probably should have spent some time on the anti-fascists that promote fascism. But here we have anti-racists promoting racism. What do I mean? Well, Maryland's largest school is, they're reviewing their homework policy because some people say it's racist. See, back in October of 2022, they released the results of an anti-racism audit. And this audit raised concern that there were inequitable expectations, practices, and transparency in terms of homework. Now, this sounds bad, right? So you're telling me that in the same class, children are getting disparate homework assignments, disparate expectations, that their practices are unequal. Here's the interesting part. See, the director of curriculum and instruction programs said at the Board of Education meeting that it was revising its policy to address what they refer to as social emotional needs of the children. What do they mean? Well, the anti-racism audit clearly showed that educational experience for our Hispanic students, our African-American students, our multilingual education students, special education, and others is different and varied than it is for our other students. One participant in the audit said that black male students require a different cultural approach or a different pedagogical approach, a different way of teaching. Oh, so you're telling me that black students don't learn the same way as everybody else, that they need a different way of doing things, that we should segregate our schools, or at least our education, our pedagogy, based on race. So I don't know. I'm not a professional teacher. I've instructed a lot of people. I've taught a lot of classes. I don't remember any situation where I had to, where black students, black people didn't understand what I was talking about until I explained it differently. I do agree that individuals learn better with different approaches. When we homeschooled my daughter, on a couple of occasions, we changed curriculum to one that fit her educational needs better. But that wasn't because she's white. It wasn't because she was a girl. It's because she's an individual. But you see, when you disconnect the mooring of we are individual human beings and you turn us into racial groups, well, now you're actually trying to pigeonhole students into their racial group. What if not all the black male students require a different approach? Should they be forced to accept a different approach that doesn't work as well for them simply because they're black? So I know I've covered a bunch of different topics in a bunch of different areas, and I do so because, to my mind, this madness is widespread. Now, I actually think it's being driven by a relatively small number of individuals. I don't believe this is a nationwide conspiracy so much as it is a small group of individuals all trying to put themselves forward to get some attention or some opportunities. But all of this, the disconnection about sexuality, about race, about our sex and our lives, I think all of this detachment, the political correctness, the cancel culture, it existed because as we watched people changing the language to promote their agenda, we simply went along with it. We didn't stand up and say, okay, you say this is true, prove it. Not with some, you know, well, so-and-so said, where's some proof that this is the case? Where is the evidence that black male students learn differently than white male students or black female students? Where's your evidence? Where's your evidence that the sexual confusion is more than a passing fad in most teenagers? Where? See, we never bother to ask for the proof. We never bother to ask them, hey, where is your compass pointing? Where is due north? I believe most people look at it as, well, it's a little thing. It's a small thing. It's a small change. Forgetting that these changes tend to snowball. That we never think beyond the immediate reaction. We never think, well, what happens next? The second, third, fourth order impacts of letting these things slide. Now, again, I believe in liberty, which means if you want to follow this, if you want to, if you believe this is true, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. What I'm not going to do is change my mind simply because you say so. I'm not going to capitulate simply because you say you're right and I'm wrong. I want evidence. I want proof. I want a foundation I can place my understanding on. Or as Martin Luther said before the Diet of Worms, here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Now I hope you'll join me for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard in the iHeartRadio Network. And please bring some friends. If y'all can't listen then, well, listen to the podcast. It comes out generally a day or two after the episode is heard on the radio. You can listen in your favorite podcast app, but if you would leave me a subscription, subscribe, leave a rating or review, it helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. Now, you can find all the links to the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. But as I said, don't come alone. Don't listen alone. Bring some friends, share these links, and help share the blessings of liberty.